Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
I thought it was very interesting. The news clicked the other day after Mitch McConnell had that spasm where he seemed to lose consciousness, right? He was standing there, but he was in the fog. And we talked to a Northwestern University neurologist who said that that did not look to him like a TIA. It's something that might be more chronic. And while it could be addressed with medication, it might not be what you and I think. And I think it just leads all of us, the Dianne Feinstein stories as well, to saying, wait a minute, we should have term limits. If these people won't do what is right for us, that is, bow out after so many decades, McConnell 7 terms as a senator, Feinstein 5, then maybe we ought to just force their hand. So we reached out to David Schultz, who's joined us before, a constitutional professor and author, to maybe answer some questions about how this could happen. Dave, thanks for joining us again. How are you?
I'm doing well, and my pleasure. Thanks for having me again.
Do you like the pictures of you when you have to see them online, David?
Hit or miss. You know, we all take pictures that have pictures of us that are more flattering as opposed to less flattering or something like that. Yeah. So I think it just depends or something like that. And I don't know about you. Pictures from a long, long time ago, I sometimes look at them and I say, who was that person also?
I know.
Yeah, I know.
That's why. Yeah, I just want to submit one for me when I was about 28.
Yeah.
That'll do. David's latest book is Generational Politics in the United States, From the Silence to Gen Z and Beyond. It comes out this fall. He's a distinguished professor of political science at Hamline University and a law professor at the University of Minnesota. He's a constitutional law expert. So if we wanted to institute term limits, where does that start? In the states, state legislatures, or in the Congress?
Well, if we're talking about term limits at the federal level for members of the House of Representatives, Senate, and the President, this would have to start, this would require a constitutional amendment. And yes, there's a mechanism to call the Constitutional Convention, but for the most part, we'd be talking about it would be requiring Congress to initially pass amendment. So what would happen is that we would need two-thirds of both the House and the Senate to agree to whatever the amendment would be regarding term limits, and then it would have to be adopted or ratified, actual term, ratified by three-quarters of the states to be able to do that. So it's an interesting perplexity here, is that if we're talking about term limits in Congress, we're asking Congress itself to basically adopt rules to limit itself.
Well, maybe if the terms were generous enough, the senators would see the wisdom of it and not be threatened by it. I mean, what would the term limits be, right?
Right, right. I know, I've seen some amendments over time, some people have made proposals to say, and certainly I'm not saying I agree or disagree with them, but some of them have said 2 terms for the U.S. Senate, which would be a total of 12 years, and 6 terms for the House of Representatives, which would be, you know, since each term is 2 years, would also be 12 years, too. So I've heard that as one of the more frequent sets of numbers that are out there.
Yeah. My only problem with is that I think I go 3 and 5. I go 18 years for senators because you kind of squeaked at that. Why do you squeak at that?
No, I wasn't squeaking at it. I was saying, yeah, no, that's a possibility, too. No, I wasn't squeaking at it. I was thinking to myself. No. Because I was thinking, because at some point, even though we use the word career politician, on the other hand, I kind of hope experience means something. I don't know about you. And the first, my joke is, in the first 6 months of my job, I couldn't even find the men's room, let alone do my job. You know, and you know what I'm getting at here is that, I mean, to ask people to become such experts on on U.S. government, even though, of course, none of them are experts on everything. But seniority does matter. Expertise does matter. And so, again, I wasn't squeaking. I was ready to say, well, yeah, that's a possibility, too, to say, okay, maybe 18 years. So what? So it'd be like, you know, three terms for senators. What would that be, like 9 terms or whatever it is for House members? Okay, that's reasonable, too.
It just seems to me like 12, but in my case, 18 years then insulates them from, it gives them a chance to, you know, the incumbency being what it is, it does give you a chance to get a lot of work done, use the equity that you have, and maybe it insulates us from the political winds of the day. I don't want a Marjorie Taylor Greene in the United States Senate. And here in Illinois, I think we have a sober and serious senator in Dick Durbin who's been there very long. He wouldn't get to be in the Senate as long as he has been under my proposal here. But at least it would ensure that you get a chance to keep some of these statesmen. That's easy for me to say because I'm in a very blue state and he gets overwhelmingly elected. Maybe Republicans listening to us right now don't agree with that assessment of Dick Durbin and, in fact, would like to see it be 2 terms so we'd be done with the guy by now. But I would go 3 times 6 for the Senate, and then I would go 5 times 2 in the House.
Okay. Would you also put a cap overall? For example, we know that in some of the states that have had like term limits for like their own legislatures, people will term limit out in the Senate and then go to the House or something like that. Would you put a total cap into? Yeah. So would you? So what I'm wondering here is, let's say somebody does 2 terms in the Senate or 3 terms in your proposal, 3 terms in the Senate. Would they be allowed to then run for the House of Representatives, or would you say capped total at 18 years or whatever? Because that's one of the questions I think we have to think about, too, if we're thinking about term limits. Because, again, we have seen people get around the term limits by just saying, well, heck, I'm just going to run for a different office instead.
So the devil really is in these details. So what do you think is a bigger impediment, that we would never agree to the terms of term limits, or that we wouldn't be able to pass the idea at all?
I think probably we wouldn't be able to pass the idea at all, is that I think it would be very, I think we could probably reach some kind of an agreement on the time frame, whether as a public, as a people we could, whether or not Congress could, I don't know. But at the end of the day, I think the process of ratification, getting it through the House, I mean, getting it through Congress and getting it through the state legislatures, I think that's the hard part. It really is. I could live with your rule. I bet a lot of people could say, yeah, okay, I could live with, you know, 3 and 5, or I could live with 6 and whatever like that. Yeah. I think people could come up with that. I think the hardest part is just getting something to pass. And then the other concern that we've noticed over time with when it gets to the issue of term limits is that because there's a certain amount of seniority and knowledge that's built up in some of the states that have had very, very short term limits, you know, let's say a couple of terms or something, where the power and knowledge seems to gravitate to are the staff members and to the lobbyists. And I don't know about you, you know, I don't exactly have a lot of control over lobbyists, and I can't vote in or vote out of office on staff members. So to me, if I'm going to do term limits, I want enough time that people have enough knowledge that they can serve, they can do their job, and there's still, even after that person leaves, there's other people who still know things, because I don't want all the power, knowledge of the institution to fall to a bunch of unelected people.
Those are the people that are propping Dianne Feinstein up, and my wife said to me the other day, I wonder why those people don't encourage her to leave. Maybe they did, but you saw them. Yeah. Continue to, well, you saw in the Mitch McConnell case, the staff just wind that toy back up and say, okay, next question. He's back now. It's working. You know, it's almost like they rebooted him, that they unplugged him and then plugged him back in. And they just kept going. And my guess about their motivation is that it's their own skin that's on the line, too. If Mitch McConnell gets termed out, then maybe the new senator gets his own staff, and they're on their way out the door, too.
I think you're exactly correct there, because they have pretty broad authority to hire who they want. And sometimes it is, I can call them career staffers that kind of float from person to person. Sometimes they are people who worked on their campaigns. But in either case, if Mitch McConnell is out, and I have no idea how many staff members he has, because he's also a minority leader, which means he probably gets more. I'm going to guess and say there's probably a dozen people who are out of a job, and are not guaranteed of a job with somebody else.
Well, if it requires two-thirds of the House and two-thirds of the Senate, I'm thinking about the current lay of the land. You have a Republican and a Democrat who are obviously forefront in this conversation. But here's what I would say. All right, let's grandfather everybody in. Nobody will currently, obviously, be subject to these rules. Plenty of them have already been in for a long time. And if Dianne Feinstein and Mitch McConnell and their staffs don't have the conscience to do the right thing, then we'll just have to live with it. But at least it doesn't threaten anybody's job. So come on, Senate, two-thirds of you, can we get 66 of you to say amen? And two-thirds of the House, then it goes to the states. You said we need three-fourths of them to ratify it. Can I ask you a question about that part of the process, David?
Sure.
Okay, let's pause right here. We're talking to David Schultz, constitutional professor. His new book, which we'll talk about too, is Generational Politics in the United States, From the Silence to the Gen Z and Beyond. I'm not sure what that's all about, but we'll ask him. And maybe you have something to say about this business of term limits. We're talking to David Schultz, a professor in Minnesota at Hamline University and the University of Minnesota, the author of many books about our laws, our voting, and our Constitution. We'll ask him about his latest one, Generational Politics, in a second. But David, you were telling us if we wanted to have term limits, two-thirds of the House, two-thirds of the Senate would need to pass a bill, right? And that would set the terms by which the terms would be limited, right? Is it 18
Correct.
Years or 12 years for the Senate, et cetera? And then the House and then the state legislatures themselves would have to take that very suggestion, and then three-fourths of them would have to pass it, right?
Correct.
Boy, it seems like the bar is pretty high. It's amazing we've got equal rights or civil rights or any of the other amendments we've done over the years.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's really difficult. Now, let me throw out another theory. One of my students proposed this one this week because we were actually talking about it in class, and they brought up McConnell and Feinstein. And it started off with, one of my students saying, they're just all too old. They ought to get out of there. And so another student said, well, how about instead of term limits, they said age limits. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, let's do two things. Because right now, to be in the House, you've got to be 25, at least 25 years old. Be in the Senate, at least 30. To be in the president, you have to be at least 35. They said, why don't we get rid of the minimum age requirements for any of those offices and then put a maximum age limit on serving? It was a good discussion, to talk about in class like that. But let me throw that out to you. What if we just said, for example, we impose a age limitation for, it still would take a constitutional amendment, but an age limit that says, you can't serve in federal office if you're beyond the age of, let me just pick an age, 75. What do you think of that?
I'm okay with that, although I get criticized for being ageist, and I'm also younger than 75. But here again, it would be just like term limits. You might lose some good people in the process, but it's a trade right now I'm willing to make,
Right. Yeah. I thought it was an interesting suggestion because my students were saying, well, right now the system is too heavily represented by older people. It's the way it's set up, it encourages people to be really old. This is their argument to be in Congress because you can't even get into office until a certain age. So if we drop the minimum age requirements and imposed maximum, then we could kind of shift it a little bit. And I thought that's kind of an interesting proposal. I haven't thought so much about it, it used to be a few years ago, a lot of places used to have mandatory age retirements or something like that. And my students are saying, well, why don't we bring those back?
Warren Buffett is in his 90s, and so there's a guy who is able to navigate the world sensibly. But right. but you know, maybe when he's not spazzing out, having a spasm and spacing out, Mitch McConnell is competent. You know, maybe right. maybe in between those awkward moments, he's okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Feinstein seems to be less likely or able to carry out her responsibilities.
Yeah.
A couple of questions from our listeners. Let's just pick up a phone line or two. Jack, sure. you're on WGN. What can we do for you? Hi.
Well, how you doing? There's a couple of things. Number one, in regards to age limits, I think when you get older, you become wiser. But second of all, I'd like to ask the professor how long he's been a professor.
Why do you ask?
Sure.
Wait, hold on. But why do you ask?
Because I think there should be a term limit on professors at universities. I think they should only be allowed to be a professor for 2 years. After 2 years, they should be let go, and a new professor should be brought in.
You don't need me to come to your defense, Professor, but I do think the difference is that a professor who's not competent only compromises the 25 kids in front of him. A U.S. senator compromises 300 million people. So
yeah, but the difference is those 300 million people, or as many people in their area, they are the ones that hired them. They're the stockholders.
Yeah, I know that, but I think that's the problem. Those a person in Kentucky, a person in California puts Dianne Feinstein into an office who should not be there, and I'm sitting in Illinois, and I have to pay the price for that because she doesn't know what's going on. David Schultz, what's your
let's let David in a university, and it's incorrect.
David, fair enough. All right, let's let the professor respond. David, go ahead.
Okay, so if as a professor I fail to perform, I can be fired. At the end of the day, even though I am tenured, and I am, but at the end of the day, if I don't show up to class, if I don't do my job, I will be fired. And I fully expect to be able to do so. And if at some point I can't do my job, I either plan on retiring, or conversely, if I don't have the wherewithal to know that I can't do my job, I will be dismissed. And that's sort of the rule for a lot of places too. The problem that we have here also with elected representatives is, as I think John you were pointing out, the power of incumbency makes it a situation where they can almost insulate themselves to stay in office, you know, by the advantage they have with fundraising, doing pork barrel legislation, et cetera, so that even if they're way beyond what their capacity is, you know, to really, you know, let's say to perform at peak consideration or something like that, they still have many tools and their mechanisms there to keep themselves in office no matter what.
I got about a minute and a half left. Jack, thank you for the call. Mike, you're next. You're on WGN. What do you want to say, Mike?
Good morning. I'm really curious to know what you think would be the purpose of a term limit, if it's to evaluate competency and maybe weed out those who are perceived to be incompetent. I'm not sure that term limits does that, because a medical evaluation would seem to be much more effective and more reasonable than term limits. You could have really good politicians who the voters want in office for 25, 30 years, and I wouldn't see term limits as being an effective way to regulate that. I think
evaluation. A great point. We got you, and we're short of time. Professor, respond to that.
I mean, at the end of the day, he's making the right argument. Isn't it supposed to be the voters at the end of the day who make the decisions regarding fitness and quality? And if the voters are happy with Mitch McConnell, they get to have Mitch McConnell. The issue becomes, though, again, as I mentioned with the previous caller, to what extent do the voters really have a choice if a person can insulate themselves in because of all those other powers? And then two, what do we do when it's somebody like Mitch McConnell who has an impact across the United States, or Dianne Feinstein, that doesn't just affect her voters? I mean, what Mitch McConnell does, what Dianne Feinstein does as a committee chair or as a minority leader, has impact on me. And I have no ability to vote Feinstein or McConnell in or out of office.
Well, what we're talking about is a blunt instrument. It seems to me like that is term limits, right? So it's not perfect. But
right.
If we're trying to ascertain the medical or mental competence of somebody, now it gets really tricky. How about John Fetterman? Is he mentally competent? Is he good enough to be in the U.S. Senate? I'm not comfortable with that, so I'm just like, all right, I'm taking a hatchet to the whole thing. What is your new book about in 30 seconds, David?
My new book about is on it's called Generational Politics in the United States, and it's about, and maybe it fits into the show here, it's about how each generation brings a different set of political values to the agenda, and how over time we replace one generation with another. And we're going through a big one right now. The baby boomers were in charge for the last 30 years. They're exiting. The millennials and Gen Zs are coming in. And we're talking about what it means when you shift from one generation to another, or another generation's politically, in terms of how they vote, what they believe in, who serves in office, and so forth. And so it kind of fits into a little bit of what we're talking about here in terms of what? One generation saying it's time to go and let a new generation take over.
It's time for us to go. It's called Generational Politics in the United States, and it drops this month or next month?
It should be coming out probably later this fall.
You and I will talk when that happens. David, thanks for your help today.
Right. Excellent. Bye. Thank you.